Good morning, church. I think we're slightly lower numbers this morning, but that's okay because I'm sure each of you is going to celebrate for two people because we're going to have a church celebration this morning. So, do you all feel like you're ready to celebrate for two people? Yeah, then we might about get there this morning. And we are going to have a celebration this morning. First thing for you to celebrate: no sermon. Yeah, thank you. Was that you, Richard, at the back, giving me a bit of sympathy there? We're going to celebrate this morning that Ian's going into the baptismal pool, and that is the greatest of celebrations the church can ever know. We're going to celebrate church life this morning, and we're going to celebrate that we once more get to eat the bread and drink the wine of our Lord Jesus. And that's always a celebration. We never want to come to that lightly. Let's have some scripture to start us. We often get confused with biblical language, I think, around body, spirit, and soul, and things like that. And we actually have quite a lot of pagan influence on the way that sometimes we read our scriptures, and we tend to think of the spirit as being a separate entity to the rest of us, which really isn't very biblical. I'm about to read Psalm 103, which talks about our soul. And our soul, when we're talking about what the Bible says that the soul is that it is the entirety of us. So if you ever want to know which is the biggest word that you can use to describe who you are, it is that you are your full soul. And this psalm talks about praising God. You'll hear it now in our entirety. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He makes his ways known to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Amen. Or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Amen. We're going to sing about praising God with our whole soul right now as we sing together 10,000 Reasons.
Maybe sing it, maybe.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Loving God, what a beautiful invitation at this start of this gathered act of worship for us to remind ourselves to worship you with everything. Today we come and we worship you in song. We worship you in celebration. We worship you in fellowship and the togetherness that comes through the unity through you, Jesus. We worship and praise you as we come humbly once more to your table, Jesus. Just help us this morning, Father, to open ourselves up to new depths of worship and praise. To open our hearts and our lives to receive more of you, Holy Spirit. That today, as we celebrate what you enable us to do and who you bring us to be, Lord, may we not lose sight that there is always more as we continue to grow as your disciples, Jesus. We love you, Father. We love you, Son. And we love you, Holy Spirit. We worship the God three in one. Your church is here. Today, Jesus. Today, Father. Today, Holy Spirit. As we celebrate you. Amen. Pray for junior church who are going to go out as well, and they're looking at the Ten Commandments this morning, which is a great thing to look at. So let us pray for them as well, as they're free to leave us at this time. Loving God, we just pray and give thanks and celebrate junior church, those people who are growing up as your disciples. We recognize that they've got much to teach us, so may that happen as well. We give thanks to them, and we pray that you will meet them there. Amen. Amen. So how many of you watch Glastonbury? No, me neither. you know something's happened when you turn on Glastonbury and you think, but yeah, so Glastonbury, one of the trends that's been going on the last 2 years, is it Jason Manford did an album about it, the comedian, school assembly bangers. People gathering to sing school assembly songs once more. And they did it at Glastonbury. It was huge to see all these people in a field singing their school assembly songs, and they knew the words perfectly. We're going to have a school assembly song this morning. We're going to do our own school assembly banger this morning. We're going to sing, "Give me oil in my lamp." I actually quite like this song. Myself, Jane and Mary were at the Alpha Leadership Conference a couple of months ago, and we found ourselves jumping up and down to this song. Not quite sure how the worship leader managed that, but the whole place was just rocking to it. I did say to the worship group, I think maybe to ask the church to jump up and down to this song this morning might be pushing it a little bit too far. Yes, church, amen? Yeah, amen, Jason. But we're going to stand to our feet in a minute as we try and put some life into this old classic. It is, of course, this first verse is based on the parable that Jesus gives about the 10 brides who are waiting. They're waiting for the return of Jesus, and five of them don't have enough oil. They fall. So we're praying and praising and saying, give us oil in our lamp. Keep us burning. For when Jesus returns, we'll still be praising him with everything we have. So we're going to sing the four verses, church, for this song. You know, when we get to the chorus, it's sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna. I will need to start a note, Laura. Sing Hosanna. Thank you. We were back there, weren't we? So obviously you can sing that bit and you can go sing, 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 sing. Oh, it's quite high from singing the faith, isn't it? Sing. You aware of that? So you have a sustained note. Sing, sing, sing. You get the idea. So I'm going to split you. So one half of the church on the first verse will sing the chorus as it is. Sing, Hosanna, sing, Hosanna. The other half of the church is going to sing. Sing, 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 sing. Second verse, we're going to switch it around. Third verse, we're going to switch it around. Fourth verse. We're going to switch it back. I want you on your... We're celebrating this morning, church. I need to make sure that you are in the celebrating mood, ready before we come to baptism this morning. So on your feet. Okay? If you're able, you don't have to, but if you're able, can ask you to stand to your feet. And that's the note, isn't it? Thank you very much. I said to her, yeah, don't worry, I'll introduce it. And then I got up here, I was like, I wonder what the note is. So can we have some claps? We can't be still to this song. So we're going to get us all moving. Are we in our moving moods? Sometimes, church, you are amazing using your feet to dance as we sing. Sometimes we need a bit more warming up, don't we? But this morning we're going to try and bring it because we're celebrating this morning. We're celebrating church. We're celebrating baptism. We're celebrating communion. We're celebrating Jesus this morning. And that's who we're about to sing and praise to this morning. Give me all in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me all in my lamp, I pray. Give me all in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing, 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 sing. Give me joy in my heart, keep me praising. Give me joy in my heart, I pray. Give me joy in my heart, keep me praising. Keep me praising till the break of day. You ready this side? Sing, 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 sing. Give me peace in my heart, keep me loving. Give me peace in my heart, I pray. Peace in my heart, keep me loving. Keep me loving till the break of day. Sing, Hosanna, sing, 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 sing. Love in my heart, keep me serving. Give me love in my heart, I pray. Give me love in my heart, keep me serving. Keep me serving till the break of day. Sing, 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 sing. Amen. Please be seated. There we go. We're a trendy church now because we've done our school assembly banger, which is actually a praise song to God. Isn't that amazing? That at Glastonbury, they're praising God. Whether they know it or not, at Glastonbury, the thousands of them were praising God. Amen. So we move on now to celebrate Ian and the journey that God has had you on, Ian. And it is a utter honor and a celebration for this church today that we're going to be stepping into that baptismal pool. Ian was christened as a baby, which is a baptism, but most people don't realize that. So we're not allowed to baptize twice. So we're renewing his baptismal vows, which is allowed, which very much sounds and looks like a baptism. Which, Ian, it's up to you how you receive it this morning, is all I'm going to say to that church before I get myself in trouble. But Ian's been part of this church for, well, since before Christmas now, and is here week after week after week. Ian has been on the Alpha course, and it is just a really special morning that we come to now. Would you like to come and join us? And Ian's going to share with us. Ian, could I pray for you before you share? Church, shall we pray for him? Loving God, we celebrate Ian, who he is. We celebrate this moment where he declares his faith in you, Jesus, and the life that he finds in you. Give him peace in this moment so that he's able to celebrate fully. Holy Spirit, flood into him and bring calm and quiet to him as he shares with us now his story. Amen. Amen.
Morning. Who said that? I can't see, I've got the wrong glasses on. Right. My journey in life began many years ago when I came to Sunday school, which is now called Junior Church, where my nana ran the coffee mornings in the Radford room. My granddad was a chief steward and also ran the boys' brigade. After this stopped, my life was still good. Many years later, I met a lovely young lady who became my friend and then my partner. Through my stupidity, I cast her aside, but not before she gave me a beautiful son. We have stayed friends, and she's helped me stay straight in life. As the years went on, I tried to please too many people at once without thinking of myself. After a while, it felt like everyone was only friendly to me because of my good nature. This affected me to the point of wanting to escape, but the route I chose was not the ideal decision. I was sat at Whitehorse Hill at 2 a.m. in my car, all alone, with 100 paracetamol and a bottle of vodka, with the aim to take the pain away. I had just opened the bottle of vodka when there was a knock on my driver's window, and as you can imagine, being up there at 2 o'clock in the morning on your own, it made me jump. I opened the window to find a sharp-dressed man, and all he said to me was, "I think you need to go home." I put the lid back on the vodka and turned back to him, but he'd vanished. I believe this was my guardian angel telling me not to go home where I lived, but to come back to the Lord. Since then, I've become an avid churchgoer. I joined Alpha, and because of that, it's brought me here to be baptised and born again in the glory of God. I can only thank my guardian angel who saved my life that night. I've always lived my life thinking I wasn't good enough until the day came that I realised that I was, and that day is today. In Jesus' name, amen.
So as Ian gets himself ready, church, when we celebrate baptism, you're a little bit too far away if you're over there and you won't get to see very much. I think it's a lovely thing if the church, if you're able, comes and crowds around. Baptism is a celebration of the whole church. We celebrate today that we get a new brother in Christ. That's what baptism is. It's entry into the church. We symbolize death and resurrection in Jesus. So Ian's ready and we're going to be getting into the pool at this time. Could I ask church, if you are able, it would be really nice if we all just gathered around so you're not distant from this, but we do this together as a church. Don't be shy, don't be shy. Come close, gather around. The closer people come, the more other people are able to see this morning. Church also goes without saying, yeah, please do use the staging so you can see. It also should go without saying that once Ian has gone under the water and when he comes up, it truly is the greatest celebration we can have as church. Can we make sure that Ian knows that we're celebrating with him at that time with as loud and as much passion as we can muster? Thank you. Ian, in former days, before you knew it, God called you and laid his hand on you to be his own. By your baptism, you were incorporated into the body of Christ to be nurtured in his grace. Now, by God's good hand, he has brought you here to accept his grace and declare yourself by the power of his Spirit to be his own in repentance, faith, and service. Ian, have you been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit?
I have.
Are you ready with your own lips and from your own heart to affirm your faith in Jesus Christ?
I am.
Do you repent of your sins, turning away from evil and all that denies God?
By the grace of God, I do.
Do you now turn to God, trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Saviour?
By the grace of God, I do.
Do you now promise with the power of the Holy Spirit to live as a disciple of Jesus?
By the grace of God, I do.
Ian, who is your Saviour?
Jesus is my Saviour.
Ian, who is your Lord?
Jesus is my Lord.
So we come to dip you in this water in commemoration and renewal of your baptism, so that the promises that were made on your behalf are made real by you today. We pray over you. By your power and love, Lord, strengthen Ian, your son, to live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Increase in him your gifts of grace and fill him with your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of holiness and faith. Amen. And church, if you can see one of the screens that are around, we're all going to pray over this beautiful ancient prayer. We're going to say two prayers over him. So let us pray. And yeah, if you want to pray and put your hands towards Ian, that's fine. Generous God, touch us again with the fire of your Spirit and renew in us all the grace of our baptism, that we may profess the one true faith and live in love and unity with all who are baptized into Christ. Amen. And then we say this prayer from number 6, known as the priestly prayer, this most ancient of prayers. And we pray it as a church, as your brothers and sisters. We pray it over you now, Ian, all together. Ian, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with kindness and give you peace. Amen. Amen. So you can retake your seats, and as you do, Mike's going to come and lead in prayers for the world at this time.
Now we come to our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Lord, we give thanks for your church at High Street and all who attend here. We thank you for our older members, that we may benefit from their experience, wisdom, and long-standing faithfulness, and for all those who have come into the church only recently. New faces and new ideas are vital if the church at High Street and your church across the world are to survive and move forward. We thank you too for the many initiatives which benefit this church. Some are well documented, but equally important are the countless acts of Christian kindness, love, and compassion done by all at High Street and noticed only by God. May we be, through your grace, a truly inclusive church where all are welcome and where all are treated as equals, as indeed we are in the eyes of God. We give thanks for the Methodist churches in Cholbury and Churchill, both about to close. Cholbury after more than 200 years. We thank you for those years of faithfulness and for all the people who've passed through those buildings on their Christian journey. In a few moments of silence, let's reflect on our own Christian journey and those who've contributed positively to it. We pray for your church across the world. In so many cases, a directly opposite situation to that in which we find ourselves. We pray for those countries where your church is persecuted, where church pastors and members are slain or taken captive indiscriminately by terrorist organisations. We pray too for those Christians who have no church building, who meet in secret for fear of reprisals. We ask your blessing on them all, whose faith in you is their only possession, and thank you for their resilience. May we take heart from them and ask that you teach us the things we need to learn so that we may become truly representative of what the Church of Christ should be. In a few moments of silence, let's reflect on the suffering church. Give thanks for our own freedom and the chance to stir ourselves further to work to your praise and glory. We pray for those who are bereaved, thinking particularly at this time of the family of Keith Webster, for Sue, Katie, Richard, and all the family. We ask for your comfort, strength, and peace for them today and in the days ahead. We pray for those who are troubled, wrestling with depression, for those who are lonely, those who feel forgotten or marginalized in any way, those who feel useless or somehow left behind. We all have names on our hearts. In a few moments of silence, let us lift them to you. Ask that you will wrap your loving and healing arms around them so that they may know what a friend they have in you. Lord, help us always to praise you, to thank you when all goes well, to say sorry when we know we've done wrong, to turn to you when we're in need. We ask that words of praise and thankfulness may ever be on our lips, and that we may live to serve your majesty in every way that your gospel teaches us. In your dear name we ask all this. Amen. And now we say together the words our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, it's good to be back with you at church. Ian's looking somewhat different to what you were a little while ago. What a celebration it is, and what a story as well. 2 o'clock in the morning, the knock on the window as an angel told you to go home. Praise be to God for his intervention at that time, Ian. We're very grateful as your family. And thank you to Mike as well for leading us in prayers for the world, and in particular the church. So I said as well that I wanted to celebrate church life this morning as well. There will be a technical name for it, and I don't know it. I should have looked it up. You know when you're so accustomed to something that you come a bit blind to it? We do it all the time, don't we? You're so used to something happening, you just forget that it's happening. I really, for a while now, I think maybe we have done that as a church. And I've felt that we needed to find a moment where we could celebrate church life. It's a shame that we're a good number of people short this morning, because I think what you're about to see is inspirational, because I find it inspirational. And it was a joy and a pleasure to go through this for you. And I wanted us to celebrate church life in a kind of almost a tangible way this morning. Church life is very broad and very deep. There's depth to it. Pastoral care is incredibly important in church life. And all the administration, all the practicalities that go on just to help church function, especially in a place like this, are vast. And we celebrate that, and we're grateful to everybody who helps the church function pastorally as well as administratively. But I'm not going to use that to celebrate church life this morning, but I want to acknowledge that it is kind of the cornerstone. It's the foundation of everything that you do. I wanted to us to celebrate church life this morning in a way that the community around us notices us. Does that make sense? So rather than celebrating how much we love each other, which we do, how much we care for each other, which we do, I want to celebrate actually how the community around us experience us as church in Whitney. You with me, church? Good. Just give me an amen or a hallelujah so I know you're awake at times. Because I think what we're about to look at should inspire us this morning and encourage us to keep going. I'm going to start with things that we're looking for. This is a short list. It could be a much longer list. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't start with things that we're looking for, and then we're going to move quickly on it. We need a new safeguarding officer or a new safeguarding team. I think in a place like this, a team would be good. Holy Spirit, please put on somebody's heart right now that they want to be part of the safeguarding team. We need a safeguarding team. It's fundamental. We're not allowed to really function without one. So I'm hoping that somebody will come forward for that soon. We need more pastoral visitors. Some of our pastoral visitors have got way many too many people on our list. Methodism is a system that if you're a member of the Methodist Church, you're assigned somebody to just check in with you every now and then and make sure you're doing okay. We need more of them. We need an events team. For years, we've not really celebrated and got together as a family socially. So we'd love to do that, to celebrate being family. We talk about it all the time. We'd love an events team. As well to look at arranging events in here as fundraising, maybe. And we need more people to host house groups, because house groups is the core strength of any church. Right. Note those, church. Let's move on. So I'm looking for quantifiable things this morning that we can go away thinking, huh, that's quite impressive. So I can't go into abstract things. I need numbers this morning. I need to present numbers to you. The first one I'm coming to, finance. We've just submitted our annual report to the Charity Commission for 2023-2024. You know, when we talk about finance, we always talk about how we need more. You can nod to that one, church. You know how when we talk about finance, we always talk about we need more? Okay, that narrative still hasn't changed. We need more finance. But in the year that we've just submitted, £98,791 was given in donations and legacies. If you didn't give any money, that number would be different. So I want to just change the narrative a little bit this morning and celebrate the generosity of people who are giving to this church, and to say on behalf of the administration of the church a huge thank you for your generosity, because you're about to see what your £98,791 was able to achieve. So this morning, we're celebrating your generosity of finance, and we're saying a massive thank you to you. We've just done a giving campaign. You have responded to that giving campaign. We think our financial giving is up about 10%. So thank you for responding to that message that came out. I want to celebrate you in that this morning, church. And you're about to see what we're able to do with your money. Hopefully. It might be you. Oh, no, there we go. So we're now going to look at some of the missional functions of the church. The first is, who knows what that is? Community meal, amen. You've heard about the community meal a lot. There's Adam in the middle, Chef Adam, who's unable to be here this morning. I've asked people for statistics. Adam told me that they've served 900 meals so far this year. I went back to him and said, you just mean January, don't you? I want to know the 12 months, Adam. So I did some work. On average, since they've been running, they distribute about 110 meals a month. That means in the last 12 months, they've served about 1,320 hot meals in our coffee bar so that people who are lonely or people who just want to experience community, as it could be, can come and eat a meal there. Isn't that amazing, church? Isn't that incredible? So that's a community meal, 1,320 in the last 12 months. The next one that's coming up, shoeboxes. The shoebox appeal, which has been going on this year. I wasn't able to be here for this celebration service last year, but I was gutted, because it's amazing to see so many shoeboxes take over this worship area. This year, from this church, and obviously the community contribute, 1,545 shoeboxes were sent out from here that were full of things for children, and they went to Romania, Ukraine, Bosnia, Georgia, Moldova, and Belarus. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? It is. Amen. Let's have some. Let's get into this, church, because it is incredible. Sue and Les have stepped down from the leadership team, management team of that. We need to celebrate them, and we will do that correctly at our annual celebration, because they're still involved. Trust me, they're still involved, but they've stepped down a little bit. So we'll celebrate them. So the shoeboxes. Dorcas, it is a testament to Val's grace that when she, I still remember it, came to my front door and we were talking and she said, I want to start something called Dorcas. I said, oh, like a knit and natter. It is a testament to your grace, Val, that you didn't hit me at that time. Because there's anything wrong with knit and natter, but Dorcas is so missional, and I've been so impressed with what just a few people have been able to achieve here in this place. So the first thing that I've got, Doves for Peace. So if you see the bushes up in the pictures there, And the sign that says, please take a dove. So these were placed out the back. Over 120 were placed out into the car park so that people could take a dove and know that God loves them and God that wants peace for them. They made the knitted nativity, which was incredible this year. They did some cake baking and coffee morning fundraising, raising £167 in aid of reducing the risk of domestic abuse. They've made some stars, which were you would have seen at Christmas if you were here. They've made some twiddle muffs for people in care homes, and they made 15 of those that have gone out to 5 care homes in Whitney and the homestead in Carterton, which is a Methodist home. And butterflies, where it says hope then, you would have seen the butterflies earlier in the year. That 170 butterflies at Easter were given away in the car park and at the community meal. They've made 20, I love this, they've made 20 tiny shopping bags filled with gifts, and they're ready to go out this month to the people who work in the shops in Whitney to say thank you for what you do for the community and all the grief that they put up working in shops with shoplifters. So the Dorcas team are going out to say thank you to them, and I think that's fabulous. And yeah. And people have been knitting squares so that enough for 16 knee rugs will go out to members of the church family who aren't able to be here week by week anymore. Isn't that incredible? And that's just one of the other things. I think I'll just go with you, Richard, if that's okay. The next one that we're celebrating, schools experience. Obviously, there's no pictures of it actually happening because it's school children. We can't take their pictures. But the school's experience, you will see at times of the year the things coming around. And 7 schools, that is the Bat, Blake, Madley Brook, Queen Emma's Dyke, Tower Hill, Whitney Community Primary School, and Springfield School. Those 7 schools come here in the year. There's 4 experiences that go on in the year. There's Easter and Christmas and Pentecost and Harvest. And at every experience, they go around stations and they hear about God. They unashamedly hear about God. How many visits do we have from school children every single year in this place to hear about God? Between 900 and 1,000. Isn't that amazing? Let's move on to the next one. Alpha. We've heard this morning that Ian came through Alpha. So far this year, church, 28 people have gone through Alpha in this church. 28 people this year have gone through Alpha in this church. One of the things we struggle with is getting them here on a Sunday morning. That's probably for us to adapt and change rather than them to adapt and change, because the world is changing and Sunday mornings aren't always the best for people anymore. We have plans around that. So 28 people who have come through Alpha. So far, we've got our next Alpha course happening in September. 16 people are already signed up for our Alpha course in September. 16 people. And they sign up because they see the sign out the front of the church. So they go onto our website and they register. 16 people, friends. That will be our biggest Alpha course by far. And we're still, what, at the beginning of July. So there's still time for more. Hallelujah. And for the first time as well, we're starting to think of starting Youth Alpha in this church as well, so that we can bring God's word to young people as well. Next one, the coffee bar out there. For a number of years now, that has been permanently designated a warm space. Don't really need it in July, but as it gets colder and the cost of heating goes up and up and up and people have to choose between eating and heating, they can come here 5 times a week and sit in the warmth, and if they want to get a free cup of coffee or a tea, they can also have free toast, free biscuits with jam and anything else, and that can come here. We are guesstimating in this one. But we reckon we do about, or David asked David, and he said about 150 cups a week. I reckon that's probably quite a conservative view. And just coffee. Oh, just 100. That's because I'm a coffee drinker. I only ask about coffee. Okay, so on your estimates, that's 7,500 cups of coffee a year, and then tea on top of that. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that amazing? And notably, it's a warm space and people don't have to pay for their drinks. That's really important to us. Let's go to the next one. So the town chaplains. Currently, there are there's seven chaplains. There are actually more on the team than that. I'm one of them, but I don't get to go out nearly as much as I like, so I'm not included in the numbers. But the town chaplains, we look after them as a church. They come under our authority. We, as the Methodist circuit, we employ Sonia, who is the lead chaplain, to look after the team. So it is entrenched in Methodism, though it is an ecumenical team of people from all churches. And they are going out predominantly on a Tuesday. They're just about to increase that to a Thursday. People go out on a Friday. And COGS have been going out on their second Sunday when that was happening. So at least, I would say, about 400 shifts are happening a year where people are going out, recognisable as Christians in Whitney, to offer smiles, friendship, to offer a listening ear, and on many occasions to offer to pray for people as well. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? The next one we'll have, Apollos Clothing. Apollos have been housed here, but are just moving out to a warehouse because they're growing and growing and growing. The picture in there, in the middle, is Sonia, our lead chaplain, and Tamsin, who, along with her husband Chris, run Apollos Clothing. You've seen Apollos Clothing's blue bins in our building. We are the biggest collection point that they have. And in January this year, since they had been here, which was just over the year, they sent me a certificate to say that they had collected over 2 tons of clothing in this place. Over 2 tons of clothing in this place that will be distributed for free to people who need it. That's amazing, isn't it? The other pictures that you see up there happened this week. The shoes and the two pictures there that members of this church, you see Alda in there, she works for Apollos, she's a member of this church. I love this. The Tuesday fellowship this week, I love this. At the back of a church, cleaned 100 pairs of school shoes, ready to be distributed for the new school year. Isn't that amazing? That's incredible, isn't it? So much going on in this place. Let's go to the next one. Kat, Christians Against Poverty. Julie, is an utter honour to have you with us this morning. Julie works for CAP. I was saying to her before the service, we need Kat to come and speak to us. I love the work of Kat. So far this year, their office is in our Wesley Centre. And they run life skills courses in our building as well as meet people here at times to go through debt management. So far, through the work of CAP, 4 people in Whitney have gone debt-free. You know the stress and the anxiety and the trap that debt is. Through the work of CAP, 4 people in Whitney this year have become debt-free. And they think another 4 will by the end of the year. Isn't that amazing? They run the life skills courses. We reckon at least 5 people have come here. You come on a course, you hear about God, you pray, and you're helped to live life in a way that works with your balance, your budget. I love the work of CAP. And Julie, I meant what I said. It's an honour for us to have you here today. It's a deep honour for us to house you in this building. And please, will you take that back to all of the team, that we will continue to pray for you and how just grateful we are that you're here. Let's go to the next one. Whitney Food Revolution. So WFR, Whitney Food Revolution, you may know it as the community fridge or the community larder, came into our building just after lockdown or the end of lockdown, and we invited them into our building. A huge team of volunteers look after Whitney Food Revolution. If you're not sure what it is, it's where you can come and get food. Nobody ever pays for the food on the fridge, but the larder is about £3 a week, not very much at all, and you can get things for that. And the ethos behind it is it's food waste prevention. So it stops food being thrown out by supermarkets, and instead it reuses that into the community. Whitney Food Revolution have over 33,000 visits a year in our building. 33,000. and in this last year have prevented 168 tons of food from going to landfill. Isn't that amazing? The next slide should be, and I forgot to put it in there, it should be volunteer link up. You know what I started by saying, that something's been for so long that you become blind to it? I realised after I'd done the slides and sent them, I'd done that exactly with volunteer link up, because they've been in this building for decades. Volunteer link up, an incredible, wonderful organisation that looks at people who have got needs in our community and find volunteers who can match those needs. And they've been here for so long, and we're proud to host them as well. Friends, these are just, you can go to the next slide for me, thank you. These are just some of the things that happen in this building through the £98,791 that you gave us that year. I think sometimes we get blind to everything going on. What have I not mentioned this year? I've not mentioned any of the other organisations, U3A and all the dance classes and weight loss classes and everything else that happens, and the uniform brigades and everything else that happens in this place. I've not even started mentioning those. One of the things we do not struggle for in this place is footfall. We are one of the busiest buildings in our community, and people coming in, and we're doing work to make sure that Jesus is expressed to every person who comes into this building. But even just from the numbers that I gave you there, so just go back one for me, sorry Richard. So I added up all those numbers, but I now recognise it probably needs another 7,000 cups of tea added on there. But let's go with what I put there. So that number, all those numbers added up I gave you, was over 37,000 interactions through the life of this church, the life of this building, which your money enables to function and exist. And then you've got to compare that the population of Whitney is only about 28,000. So we have about 37,000 interactions through this building, through this church every year, which is greater than the population of the town. If you look at that, there is something that we need to deeply celebrate that God enables us to do. Because I haven't even mentioned half of what happens here. I've picked out a few key things for you this morning. And I know that I have, and I know that others have. And we feel burdened about, oh my word, there's so much work to do. Yes, but what incredible, beautiful, honouring work that it is that we get to do for Jesus in this place. And the next slide is, what have I not mentioned? I've not mentioned that every prayer that you pray for somebody is another interaction. Every single prayer that you pray is another interaction. Every smile that you give to people, every time that you think that you should mention God or help somebody inquire for themselves about God, every charity that you donate to, because I know that you give to charities as well, you're helping kingdom work. Every person that you love, every person that you visit, every person that you care for, and the list goes on and on and on. Because the truth is, church, when we talk about what the church does for Jesus, the minority of that work is what happens in this building. But the true strength, the true power of the church is when we leave this building to where God has appointed us in our lives, and that's where we minister. And that's way bigger than 37,000 interactions. Because it's you every day representing Jesus right where you are. So I want to celebrate this church. We'll go to the final slide. Thank you, Richard. With some scripture, Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before others. Let your light shine before others, church. Not so that you look good. It's not about that. It's so that others may see your good deeds, and in doing so, glory is given to your Father in heaven. That's why we do what we do. We're not overly interested in the reputation of the church, other than it might help people know Jesus. And that's everything we do. And I hope that has helped you just be inspired by what we do in this place, what you do in this place, what your generosity enables in this place. Because if we don't look at it every now and then, we'll forget about it. because it just goes on and we become blind to it. But I am very proud of you, church. Very, very proud indeed. And I think you should be proud of yourselves because the impact you are having on all of the people around you is giving glory to God every single day of the year. Shall we pray? Loving God, we give thanks for what you enable us to do, for who you enable us to be. In the celebration of baptism, we're reminded of our own baptism, the renewing spirit that is in us and works through us. Lord, equip us, strengthen us, give us the strength of perseverance so that we can do more and more to bring glory to your name. Amen. We're going to sing together again now as we approach the communion table once more. We're going to sing two songs. We sang the first one. They flow into each other. We sang this first one before, though I think the worship group sang it for us this time. So you're welcome to join in. You're welcome to listen. And then we'll go into the second song, which you'll know better. Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. Church, we have been invited to dinner, to eat not just any meal, but to be fed a royal feast. As we ready ourselves to eat with Jesus once more, let us take time to prepare. Let us take one last long look in a mirror. And in that mirror, let's pay attention to the image we would see staring back at us. Is the image right? Or have we picked up a garment of sin since our last confession? Church, in silence, let us confess those things to God and turn away from them. Isaiah chapter 61 says this: I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. If our repentance is true, then our forgiveness is complete. Therefore, church, let us come to this table once more, knowing that we are forgiven and reconciled to God. Through Jesus, this is not a table of fear, but it is one of peace. The peace of the Lord be with you. Please, why don't you greet those around you by sharing the peace and saying good morning to each other this morning. Friends, as you continue to share the peace and take your seats, if you're a guest with us or if you're a visitor, some of guidance around communion in this place. First off, that everybody is welcome to share in communion here. Everybody. The only caveat that I add in is that by coming towards the table and accepting the elements, which you'll kneel around, people will show you, that actually it's an indication of a willingness to come to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. That's the caveat and Methodism of coming to the communion table. You might not be there yet, but you're still welcome to come as long as you're on that journey or you're even just curious about Jesus. So all are welcome to take communion. Where we use bread, it's gluten-free, dairy-free, egg-free, so that everybody is included in this meal. I might talk about wine. It's grape juice, non-alcoholic, again, so that everybody is included in this meal and nobody's excluded. When communion stewards will call you forward, and you can stand or kneel around the rails. The element is given to you, and some words will be said, which you can say amen or thank you, and then you can eat the bread and drink the wine at your convenience, really, but most people do it straight away. And then somebody will come and collect the little glass from you as well. So everybody's welcome. That's really precious to us. Everybody is welcome to this sacred meal. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Just as Jesus called those first disciples to follow me, we hear that same call upon our lives. The journey we are invited on may not be easy. In fact, we are certain at times it will be difficult. But it is a journey in which we will never be alone, because God is with us. We are not the first to be called, and we will not be the last, for that we know that the church established by Jesus will remain until Jesus comes again in glory. We are the church, companions in Christ. A church established not to rule, but to serve. A church established not to receive glory, but to give glory. A church established to live for all those who have chosen not to be a part of it. So we, the church of today, joins in a hymn of praise spoken by the church through all ages, a chorus passed from generation to generation, and a hymn we will pass on to those that will follow in time to come. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Sisters and brothers, just as baptism gives us new life, we celebrate that this meal sustains that life. A meal given as a gift by our Lord Jesus Christ, who on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. He broke it and he gave thanks and said to his disciples, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of you." At the same meal, he took the wine and he gave thanks. And he offers it to us now, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Today, we are once more invited to eat the bread of life, food for our journey. Today, we are once more invited to consume the wine that comes from the vine of Christ, a drink that cleanses us. May this wine keep us alive in our life of faith and help us bear much fruit for the kingdom of God. Send down your Holy Spirit, that these gifts of bread and wine be for us what we need to walk our path and fulfill our mission. Amen. We break this bread, remembering that in dying our death, Christ has raised us to new life. May we be revived, strengthened, and equipped. Amen. So come, eat and drink. Draw near with faith. I invite the stewards and the musicians to come forward. Let us pray. Loving God, as we celebrate who you make us to be and what you draw us to do, we recognize that everything that we do is a response from the grace and love we have received from you that we don't deserve. Lord, you've made us free and you've given us life. We thank you that once more at this table, you equip us to live out that life. For your glory, Lord. Amen. Before we come to our final hymn of this gathered act of worship, I haven't mentioned much of the practical administrative tasks that are required to just keep this place going, but I did indicate they are vast. We'd be here till next week, I think, if we tried to go through all of them. But this morning, we just want to honour one person who has done an extraordinary amount for this church and continues to do so, but in a change of capacity. Jane, would you come and join me, please? You can look down all you want with your arms folded, pretend I'm not talking about you, but please, would you come and join me? Last week we said thank you to Linda as she stepped down for steward, and this week it's your turn. Again, I mean, you're not leaving us. Amen, hallelujah. Jane, to me, is just, I was about to say you're the fabric of this place, but I really need to, yeah. No, I don't mean that. I mean that you just do so much for this church. And Jane, for a long time, has been stewarding us and needs just time to Sabbath and rest a little bit, even though you are still doing things that needs to you need to be able to rest a little bit and recuperate. The church, though, Jane, are incredibly grateful for everything that you have and continue to do for the glory of God in this place. No. I personally, too, am extremely grateful to you for everything, the way you've supported me all my time here as well. It has been needed and it's been appreciated. From the church, there is a card and there's a little gift for you as well. And we're grateful to you. And we continue to love and celebrate being church with you. On a scale of 1 to 10, how awkward did you find that? Very. We didn't notice. You hit it really well, Jane. You hit it really, really well. Church, we're going to sing our final hymn together again, this beautiful modern hymn that we often raise the roof for within this place. So we're going to try and do that together again this morning as we recognize that we serve a higher throne. Stand with me if you're able and lift your voices. There is a higher throne.
Thank you.
church, I think it's right that we share the grace together. If you don't know the words or they don't come up, just let the words and receive them this morning. Let us share the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and evermore. Amen. God bless.